Jake, it's Chinatown.
That's the money quote from the movie Chinatown, a really great flick. Oddly, the movie had nothing to do with Chinatown. It just happened to be where the story ended. L.A. is probably the most diverse city in America. There's Chinatown, Koreatown, little Tokyo, little Saigon. There are plenty of other smaller, lesser-known ethnic enclaves. Cambodia Town, Filipino Town, Little Armenia, Little India, Thai Town, and on it goes. But the most famous one is, by far, Chinatown. Why is that? Why did an A-list screenwriter, Robert Towne, choose the title Chinatown? He could have written endless other titles for the movie, but he picked Chinatown. And the movie poster rendered the word in smoke. Very mysterious. Besides great food and exotic decor, mystery is probably at the core of the allure of Chinatown, at least to Americans. China is about as far away as you can get on the globe before you start the return trip. An ancient culture steeped in secrets, strange Chinese herbs and medicines, acupuncture, kung fu, forbidden cities, temples, pagodas, panda bears, tigers, Confucian wisdom, Ching Ling Fu, the magician who did tricks no one has ever replicated, dragons, the Great Wall, the Silk Road, and so on. And there's a new mystery about Los Angeles Chinatown. Something or someone is killing it. Hang on, we'll try to figure it out.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry!
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 Come on, Larry! Larry!
When I finally do escape L.A., one of the things I'll miss about it is the variety. I've been a semi-regular at Chinatown for a long time. A few days ago, the family and I realized that somehow we had not visited Chinatown since pre-pandemic. It's been almost 5 years. So we took a ride and got a big surprise. Chinatown is becoming a ghost town. It's not real big. It's a fraction the size of San Francisco's Chinatown, but definitely was bigger and better than New York's, but maybe not anymore. Large portions of it are now deserted. If the man from 2027 wanted to shoot some fresh video of a place devoid of human life, Chinatown would be perfect. It used to be thronged with people, day and night. Maybe half tourists and half LA natives. Now, a lot of it feels apocalyptic. Storefront after storefront is empty. Places where there were art galleries and packed restaurants. Most of the merchandise for sale was and is really cheap stuff. T-shirts with every conceivable logo and message. $5, some as low as $3. They probably fall apart when you wear them. A handful of tourist shops remain. They sell caps and cheap sunglasses and back scratchers and paper parasols. That's the stuff on the street. Inside are paper lanterns and puzzle boxes and finger cuffs and magic tricks that make coins disappear and will turn a $1 bill into a 10. Crap like that. But it wasn't always that way. There was a jewelry store that would rival any on Rodeo Drive or Fifth Avenue. It was opulent and their inventory was top shelf. From flawless diamonds to Rolex, Patek, Cartier. Often there were limos parked at the curb. Now, it's abandoned. The glass doors and marble walls are covered with graffiti. There's a beautiful Omega clock over the entryway. It's amazing someone hasn't ripped it off by now. There are also several fantastic antique stores where you could drop many thousands on beautiful things, all gone, save one, and now a sign in its window says, "By appointment only." One of the coolest structures in Los Angeles is the Hop Louie restaurant. It has been gutted and is now only used for movie shoots. There were galleries and boutiques. All were quirky. One had a sign that said, "Wearing apparel." But what other kind would there be? For a while, there was a store that sold nothing but Chinese guitars. They didn't play very well, but they looked pretty cool. I'll post pictures of these scenes on the homepage at thatlarryshow.com. Everything now is neglected and in disrepair. There's an enormous fountain in the square with a grinning Ho-Tai seated in the middle. It used to flow 24/7 and was littered with coins of wishers. Now it's dry and covered with pigeon shit. Where crowds once gathered for a good time, now you can hear the sound of litter as it skitters across the pavement and the gusts of desert winds. There are still many impressive doors and entryways with mysterious markings like the Hop Sing Tong Benevolent Association. That tong goes back hundreds of years in China and first appeared in the U.S. in 1875. Quite a history of a group of guys you probably don't want to piss off. Other ornate doors are marked Su Yen Fraternal Association, Yun Kong Tin Li Association. What are those? Also tongs? Who knows? Some have websites, but give almost no information. Curiously, those doors are not in the sad state as the rest of the place. They still look pretty good. And why the hell shouldn't they? Whoever those guys are, they clearly value their privacy, which used to be an American virtue. Why shouldn't people have private or even secret clubs? The government sure does. When they use the word transparent, you know they're hiding everything and slinging acres of bullshit at you. So what happened to Chinatown? Why is it nearly a ghost town? I'll get to that soon, I promise. I actually had a shopping agenda for this trip beyond visiting a once grand location and getting a good Chinese dinner. I was almost out of the indispensable, must-have, accept-no-substitute, miraculous item without which my home is not only incomplete but in danger of invasion. You thinking guns and ammo? No. Did I use the descriptor miraculous? Yes, I did, without a trace of hyperbole. I've tried lots of products that were touted as miraculous. Miracle Whip could make a pig puke. I've poured Miracle Grow on stunted plants that proceeded to turn brittle and brown and die. I even sprinkled Lourdes water on a very sick relative who died anyway. So when I see the word miracle on any product, I'm pretty damn skeptical. At least I was, until I tried Miraculous Insecticide Chalk, made in China. You get two sticks of it in a little black and orange box that measures about 3 by 1. On one side it says, in English, Miraculous Insecticide Chalk. Now, on most products, the country of origin is usually in fine print, but not here. It's in the same size font as the product name, and it's highlighted with a bright yellow background. So clearly, China is proud of this product, as well it should be, because it fucking works. Once or twice a year, in some years not at all, ants will attack my home. Most household ants are blind, at least the jillions of drones are. They find their way around by smell, and each ant leaves a scent trail behind them for the next guy to find, which is why they tend to march in perfect lines, sometimes in opposite directions, just a few millimeters apart. Usually, they've found something sweet, a bottle of honey or maple syrup or some cherry-flavored romolar with a sticky label, and they swarm it and bring back to the nest as much as they can. By the way, who names cough remedies? Robitussin sounds like some Terminator robot, right? And Romolar, well, that's his buddy who dresses like a centurion. And how about Dime a Tap? Sounds like a price list at the world's cheapest brothel. The only cough suppressant that works is codeine, which some angelic Russian doctor once prescribed for me when I had a bad dose of pneumonia. But back to ants. I like most animals, some insects, as long as they stay out of my house. When they arrive uninvited, I take it personally. Before I swat a fly or a mosquito, I usually tell it that it's about to die, and it should scream now, loudly, and warn its pals that this place is a zone of death. I take particular delight in the mass murder of ants. Why? Because they resemble commies, brainless and sightless, with blind allegiance to a dictator, following each other around by their shared stench. Before I rain death on them, I ask them, have I ever invaded your filthy anthill and tried to take your food? Do you little pricks ever stop to think about why you give your lives for that lazy-ass queen while she does jack shit for you? Maybe you should have, little marching zombies. Now, salute each other, say your goodbyes or whatever, because it's die time. Usually I vacuum them up and then try to track down the point of entry. Might be a window sash, maybe a pinhole and tile grout. A few times I've seen the commie bastards pouring out through an electrical outlet. That really pisses me off. Using my 220 wiring to invade my home. Like those commie shitbags on the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam. Now amateurs are those not fortunate enough to live near a bona fide Chinatown. Well, they'll start spraying Raid or Black Flag around. And that stuff reeks. And the overspray is huge, as with any aerosol product. So you are distributing poison far and wide. It's anything but targeted and precise. And unless you're wearing an industrial-grade respirator, you're inhaling some of that crap. Guaranteed. And then there are those ant traps. Try those, and have seen ants walk yards around them, as if the so-called attractant inside is actually a repellent. They suck. But the miraculous Chinese chalk, oh. You need only locate an ant conga line, make a chalk mark that they must cross, and then watch the fun begin. It's enormously entertaining. The moment ants cross that line, some start to wobble and stagger. I wish GoPro made a camera the lens that could record a close-up of the ant's face when he gets a snootful of whatever toxins are in that chalk. Hits them like mustard gas. Would be fun to see them sputter and gag and scream and vomit. Once stricken, they double-time it back home, all herky-jerky and powdered up, like Tony Montana at the end of Scarface. They bring the gift of a wondrous white death to the nest, and hopefully that sack of shit queen. Some ants are tougher and seem unaffected, but if they tiptoe through that chalk, they're going down. I never looked close at the box until now. On the top is a line drawing of a roach. On the side, where the grammar gets a little loose with punctuation and pluralization, there are assurances of lethality and safety. It says, kills cockroach and ant effectively, harmless to human being and animal safe to use. That's all one sentence. On one flap must be the manufacturer's name in cursive, looks like it says Jinjin. On the other flap is something really funny. Seems to be an attempt at a batch number and an expiration date. It says group number for production, followed by a few faintly stamped digits. Then it says, please use before 20/3. That's what it says on the new boxes I just bought. So I checked the remaining box from 5 years ago. Same freshness date, 20/3, whatever that means. My guess, in whatever dingy corner of Guangzhou they make this stuff, word got back from America that the EPA wants a batch number and a freshness date, so they've been stamping the same figures on boxes since Nixon established the EPA. Considering the demonstrated power of the chuck, I never use it anywhere that moose could get to it, or near any surface where food is prepared. But I'm not worried about anyone running their tongue along a windowsill or poking it into an electrical outlet. Of course, ASTCOs, that would be assholes seeking to control others. ASTCOs hate miraculous insecticide chalk almost as much as they hate private clubs. Some ASTCO with a blog has all colors of nasty things to say about miraculous chalk, and damn near everything he says is wrong.
The product is illegal and dangerous. The EPA has a warning on it, too. We tried it in the past and found that it didn't really work. I found this stuff being sold all over San Francisco's Chinatown, and it's for sale on eBay. It does kill bugs because it contains toxic chemicals, but are hazardous around kids. Did you know that plain old chalk also works?
Bullshit.
The EPA warns against illegal household pesticides.
Okay, Scooter, would that be the same EPA that approved Roundup weed killer for decades? The same Roundup that has caused cancer, with over 42,000 people suing the manufacturer, first Monsanto and then Bayer? Yes, the trusted aspirin people. Bayer has paid out tens of billions with a B to settle those lawsuits. Then this chooch recommends diatomaceous earth as an
eco-friendly alternative
to miracle chalk. Really? Diatomaceous earth is carcinogenic. I'll take my chances with my miraculous Chinese chalk.
Larry, stay on task!
Oh yeah, back to Chinatown. The reason for the success of Chinatowns as a tourist destination is that element of mystery they project. And you can still find hints of it in Los Angeles Chinatown, like those association doorways. But so much of it looks doomed, and that's a damn shame. What killed Chinatown was the U.S. government and the insane mandates of Bag of Maggots Biden. But even before Joey, when the idiot electorate first learned the virus came from China, many assumed that Chinatown must be a vector of infection and stayed away in droves, even if it was as little as 5 or 10% of visitors. That decline is enough to cripple most businesses. Then the lockdowns hammered more nails into the coffin. Then the mask mandates, the price of gas. The few stores that remain open in Chinatown no longer use their air conditioning. It was a hot afternoon when we visited, and almost every business had open doors and fans pushing hot air around. Why? Because they can't afford the price of electricity in LA. That's why. It's the highest in the country, same as the gasoline. Besides, the city of LA has to charge more so they can pay the pensions of all those retired union teachers, many of which exceed 300 grand a year. How's that for some equity? Biden's lockdowns and fear-mongering conditioned people to live in fear, just as he did, campaigning masked from his own basement. The new economy is the Zoom economy, huh? Most brick-and-mortar businesses are fucked. Sadly, many residents of Chinatown have been conned by the terror tactics of the U.S. government. I'd estimate that 35% of people were walking around outside wearing masks on a stifling hot day. When we finally found an open restaurant, which had great food, by the way, we sat beside a window and I watched a guy outside seated on a bench eating his dinner. He was alone, looked to be in his mid-40s. He wore a surgical mask. He hefted some food with his chopsticks, lowered the mask, put some food in his mouth, replaced the mask as he chewed. He repeated the process for his entire meal. I wanted to ask him if he believed he was sitting in a cloud of COVID germs. And if when the mask came down, the germs all flew away and returned as soon as his mask was replaced. I wondered if he'll be doing that for the rest of his life. He probably will. And millions of others will too. I'll bet the members of the Hop Sing Tongue are not wearing masks behind those shiny red doors. Those guys know what time it is. They know government is not your friend. Their clubs have been around since 1644, a hell of a lot longer than the U.S. government. They'll still be around after the U.S. government is long finished. Why? Because they know the value of mystery. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes, slide over to thatlarryshow.com, and while you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Doesn't cost a thing. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. You'll find links to those pages there as well. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help me keep the show going. Or if you prefer more privacy, there's a post office box address. You can send checks or cash there. You'll see it also at thatlarryshow.com. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.